Well, welcome, guys. Welcome to Iron Men Connect. Welcome back to most of you. Do we have any first-timers here this morning? First time to Iron Men? Awesome. Welcome. Glad that you're able to be here today with us. A lot of guys here today. Before we jump in to the rest of the morning, I want to pull up Ron Tucson. If you could come up, Ron, I don't know where you are. There was something placed on all the tables you guys probably noticed related to Easter, and Ron's put together something that I think is pretty cool and really needed, something different. So Ron wanted to talk a little bit about what that is, and then he's going to call up Jim next, and he's going to introduce our teaching fellow this morning.
Thank you, my friend. All right, great to be with you guys. Now, you all know what this weekend is, right? Because I heard David already talked about it. It's Easter. And Easter, for all of us here, probably had different significance at different times in our lives. When I grew up in a church environment, so Easter always had a significance to the resurrection of Jesus. And pretty much even in my school when I was growing up, it was pretty much the same way. Now we live in a different era where Easter still means an awful lot to us, but there's a lot of people that have gotten stuck and never gotten past Peter Cottontail and the eggs. And it's here comes Peter Cottontail and here's the egg. That I've never been sure how the rabbits and the eggs come together, because Peter, I think, was a guy, and that's just too much information, so we just don't know. But what we have here is a time when we can talk about Jesus in a very open way, because it's the resurrection. And I hope that most of you will probably be in a church that you're a part of. You'll be inviting people from your office, and they'll be coming with you to church or from the neighborhood, and that'll be great. But there is a whole segment of people right around us that will never be caught dead or alive in a church to talk about Easter. But you know where they might be willing to sit around and talk? In a bar. So right in downtown Winter Garden, there's a martini bar called Pilar's. And we've arranged with Pilar's to have you see this on the table, and you can pick up some of these on the way out. I do not want you dare to forsake going to your church, because I'll be hearing from your pastors. Okay, but let me say this caveat. If you've got a friend at work that's not going to go to your church, but he'd be glad to go have a mimosa on Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11 and just be involved in what we're calling an Easter conversation where any question is legal. What's the big deal about Jesus? How can somebody who lived 2,000 years ago and lived 6,500 miles from Winter Garden have an effect on my life today? What's the big deal about that? And that is a very, very, very good question. And we'd like to be able to answer that question. And so that's what this is for. The bar is going to be open, okay? There's going to be coffee. The bar is going to be open. It's not an open bar, but the bar is going to be open. We're just looking for a lot of people. We have no idea how many people are going to come in, but we want to talk about the reality of Jesus in an environment where people are sitting around and conversational and willing to listen. And so if you know anybody that is in that category, bring them on over. You can even tell your pastor you're going to do this because you got a buddy that you'd really like to be exposed to this. Come to Pilar's, pick these up. They'll be, where should we put them? We'll put them at the end table right there as you walk out. Just there's some flyers. Just pick them up and you give them to people and then say, hey, I'll pick you up. How about if we go together? You know, and I'll even buy you a drink. How about that? Now that you have your own convictions on that, but that's not bad. It's a good investment of your money. Take your tithe money. No, don't do that. So I really want to encourage you to do this. There's so many people in our culture today that don't have a clue about what the resurrection is all about. And when you look at your life, where you are today probably has a lot to do because somebody, sometime, nudged you, talked to you, pushed you, exposed you to something, and now you're a follower of Jesus. And now you're on the other side. Now you're the one doing the influencing. You're the one doing the inviting. You're the one doing the nudging. And my favorite thing is when I work with God, you know, I've never scored a point. I have never scored a point. I get assists. And what you want as a follower of Jesus, a lot of assists in your column because God does all the scoring, but we can do an assist. And this is a great opportunity to just have an assist as God is working in people's lives. So I want to encourage you to do that. It's a very short notice. You've only got 2 days. This came together in just about a week. We've had some real unbelievable responses to be able to make this happen. So 9:30 to 11 on this coming Easter. Okay, now we got somebody that's going to be talking to us that actually has become a very good friend of mine, but I'm not going to introduce him. Jim, you come on. Will you come on up here?
Okay. How do I follow up a bar? I got some good news. Easter is coming. Yeah. Wonderful news that resurrection is coming and it affects our life. So I love to be in this house. Every Friday, Friday is one of the best days of the week for me. I get the opportunity to rub shoulders with like-minded men, kingdom men, who want to make a difference in their families, in their lives. And we're blessed because in this house, we've had the opportunity to see a lot of young men start stepping out and using their gifts. And one of these young men is Austin Arthur. And he's been coming here for a couple of years. He's been part of the Optrepreneur Roundtable, but he's had a profound effect in my life. I am a much better believer because of Austin. Austin has done, just when you get in his presence, you're just looking for something to do to extend the kingdom of God. He has that energy. He walks into a room and you think, how can I step in and step up? So I have his bio, and look, I had to write it, I had to put it on paper because there's a lot of things, and he's only 25 years old. But let me just give a couple things. One, he's a family man. When you get an opportunity, ask about his brother and his dad. Very unique God story. His wife's name's Kelly. He's got 3 young children that keep him busy. He's a very successful entrepreneur. He started 2 companies. One of the companies is down the street, which is the Gymnastics USA, which is the largest gymnastics center in the state of Florida. He's salt and light in the community. He communicates on values within a podcast in the West Orange Times and Observer. He's on the board of 16 community-based organizations. He believes in action. He wants to be part of the solution. 16. So he must be only sleeping 3 hours a day. Here's some of the places that he's a board of. West County Habitat of Humanity. 1 Winter Garden. 8 Waves Children and Family Services. Life Choices Women's Clinic. And then approximately 3-4 months ago, he and his wife, through prayer, decided that he wanted to get in the front lines. And so he threw his hat in the ring, and he's running for office as the West Orange Commissioner. So if you ever remember growing up and you saw, were invited, and there was that 3 or 4-year-old that was the brightest in the room, and you thought, God, that person could be the president of the United States. That's Austin Arthur. So we're glad to have him. Let's give him a big hand.
Are you really 25?
Yeah. Well, I didn't write that bio, by the way, so thank you, and I didn't know that I was on that many boards. Okay, is this my water? Thank you so much. I always fear speaking in front of people that during my talk, I'm going to pull a Marco Rubio and do a really awkward sip of water. I don't know if you guys remember that, but... So always sip first. Okay, well, thanks, Jim, for the wonderful introduction. If you know Jim, he's probably the most affirming person you've ever met. And that's kind of his gift, is the gift of affirmation. So he asked me to do this today, and I'm grateful for it. He helped me to formulate my thoughts on this issue. I also want to thank Ron Tucson, who also helped me. I called him up. I was a little bit unsure about some things, and I realized he really is a good pastor. He really does know the Bible. It's pretty impressive. I didn't know you were so legitimate. But I'm grateful for these 2 men, and happy to be here. So we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph. That is the son of Jacob, not the son of the father of stepfather of Jesus. So in this series, we're going to highlight a couple different aspects of his life. So I'm going to highlight a particular aspect, and I'd like to start when he was young. In the story, we see, and there's differing points of view on this, but I do subscribe to the idea that he was a little bit of a boastful brat when he was young. Ron disagrees with me, though, to have full clarity. But I look at it, and I think about these dreams that he had, which are very, very bold. You know, he's like the sun and the moon, and they're all bowing down to him, and it represents his family, even his parents, that he's going to be some kind of king. And he tells his family about these dreams. And to me, the gift of discernment would say, if you have a crazy dream like that, you don't tell people. And I've had some crazy dreams, and believe me, I've never told them. So that's how we start. And I say that because you see, as he grows during his journey, he really becomes one of the most powerful leaders in the Bible. So what happens with his lack of discernment, in my personal opinion, the Bible doesn't say that, but in my opinion, with his lack of discernment, he ticks off his brothers so badly that they want to kill him. So his brothers just hate him. They take him away and they sweep him up. They're about to kill him, but they decide instead we're just going to sell him off into slavery. So he was sold off into slavery to some Ishmaelites that were coming down the road there. And, you know, this is something that we probably can't really relate to in a way, such a profound thing happening in our life. But I think that there are ways that maybe you can relate. And I was thinking about my father, who is the greatest man I ever met. And he was a really good leader. But there was a story that I heard about him. He never told me it, but I learned about him and his brother. Him and his brother always had some tension growing up, and I noticed it. Well, when my dad was about 8 years old or so, there was some bullies that were picking on him in the school. And so he went to his older brother, one of my uncles, and he told him about it. And he said, who is it? Who's picking on you? Nobody's going to pick on my little brother. Let's go get him. So they both go, and my father's, you know, trailing along 8 years old with his older brother around the bushes. And then all of a sudden, my dad turns one of the bushes and his brother pops out, socks him in the stomach and says, "Don't you ever think I'll defend you," and walks away. So that's a very harsh thing, a harsh betrayal from your own brother. He didn't try to sell him into slavery, but nonetheless, it's a harsh thing to experience. And it carried throughout their life, that theme. So with Joseph here, the result of his brother's betrayal is stated very clearly in the Bible. And at this time, I want to read from Genesis 39. So if you all would like to stand while I read God's word here. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had bought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From that time, he made him overseer of his house and overseer of all that he had. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had to Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. You may be seated. So Joseph had such a great ability, so much so that this master that he was sold into didn't have to do anything anymore in the house. Literally, it says all he had to do in his house was decide what he wants to eat for dinner. Joseph took care of everything. And it says that the Lord was with him. And what I believe based on context is really the Lord is with you when you seek him, because you can easily rebuke the Lord. You can rebuke the word of God, and the Lord won't be showing up the way he is necessarily when you come to him. So it's our obligation to seek the Lord. And then he will be with us in all the things that we do. And we see that in Joseph's story. He became such an impressive leader running this whole house. But of course, the problem is when you become an impressive leader with God's help, the enemy seeks to destroy that, because that's not what the enemy wants. He wants you to be successful with him. So the enemy comes in the form of Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife is looking and seeing this man who's running her house, and it's not her husband, which is a lesson for us right there that I think is sometimes overlooked. You have to be the man of your house. You have to be present, and you have to be leading your house. You cannot leave that up to somebody else, because the devil will tempt your spouse. And that's exactly what happened with Potiphar's wife. And the Bible says he's a very handsome dude, so that helped a lot. So she's looking at him, and she comes to him and approaches him and says, "Lie with me, lay down with me." And in the Bible, when it says lay down with me, make no mistake about it, they're not talking about cuddling, all right? They're going to go all the way. So Joseph, being a godly man, being a man of God, rebukes that and says no. He says, "I'm in your husband's house. He's given me everything. He's given me everything in this house except for you. You're the one thing I'm not supposed to have. So how can I dishonor him and dishonor God by doing this thing that he sees as an abomination?" So what happens next is the devil realized that he couldn't get Joseph in this temptation. So the devil tempts the woman further, and she has a piece of his garment, tears it off, and then she makes a false accusation against him. And she lies and says that he came onto her. So then what happens is he was falsely accused. And we see that one witness can falsely accuse somebody, that it doesn't make them guilty. But in this world, it did. So he ends up in a dungeon in Egypt, and the Lord is with him still and working with him, leaving little breadcrumbs for him to follow. He starts to interpret dreams of several prisoners in the dungeon there. And then soon he'll find himself in a much different state. He'll find himself in front of Pharaoh interpreting his dreams and giving him this prophecy of a dream, which essentially saves all of Egypt. He predicts that there's going to be this great harvest for years and then a great famine. So he convinces Pharaoh that he has to do this huge, essentially, a tax. And you know that if you convince a whole nation to do basically 100% tax, you're probably a pretty good leader. So that's that's exactly what happened. And Joseph, again, we see Joseph, God being with him, him following God through God's lead. The entire nation of Egypt is under his control, just like it was in the house. So he goes from slavery to being the leader of the most powerful nation in the world at the time. And it's because he consistently listened and followed God. And when people try to give him credit, say, wow, this is amazing that you could do this, you could interpret the dream. He said, no, this is God's ability. He was just a vessel. So his brothers come and they are in a situation with this famine all across the region. And they come to Egypt because Egypt has this great harvest thanks to Joseph. And in another lesson, we'll focus on that forgiveness. But he ends up helping his brothers and even saving the Israelites by giving them their own land in Egypt, by convincing the Pharaoh that this is what they should do. So that was the land of Goshen. And Goshen was the most prized area in Egypt, the Bible tells us. So his family receives this land to grow and to be saved. And what happens is they flourish. But then Joseph eventually dies. So we lose that leader. And over the course of some couple hundred years, the leadership vacuum, the enemy finds a void and he puts bad leadership in place. So the Israelites go from having the best land in Egypt with plenty of harvesting to then being slaves. And that's when we see hundreds of years later, they're slaves in Goshen now. And it's because of that vacuum of strong leadership. So it took all this time till we finally see another leader come, a godly man named Moses, to save them. So all that to say that the story shows how bad leadership and a lack of leadership can destroy us. And I personally believe that right now we are in a spiritual battle. And it's going to take all of these good men in this room to lead, not just in their homes, but in their communities and influence, but do it through God. So we are charged here. The Bible shows us, it's a biblical principle, that men are supposed to lead. They're not supposed to cower, because there will be a vacuum if you're not leading your homes and your communities, and the enemy will take advantage of that. So I encourage you all today to consider that biblical leadership, because I believe that that is what is missing in our communities, in our country. So with that, if I will close in a word of prayer, if you'll join me. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your example in the writings in the Bible of leadership and how we're supposed to lead. We ask that you bring the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us, because we are weak in mind and spirit. We need the Comforter to come and be with us and guide us in all things. So we ask that you do that. Lord, we're grateful because we know how this ends. We know that your Son came and saved us all. He walked with us to teach us. Let us take those lessons and be leaders of our families and our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Appreciate you, Austin. The Entrepreneur Table is going to be owning the rest of the month, and that's the table that I'm a part of, and I'm really excited, and that was awesome, Austin. Thank you. I sent out the questions last night, guys. So table captains, I'm going to hand the floor over to you, and we're going to spend the rest of the time at our tables.